an old one.
It was that 33 one. Yeah. Okay. All right, we do have quorum. You can lower your cards.
All right, you want to do the announcement?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to just add one thing in there. Outstanding unresolved concerns, because there were unresolved concerns, but they're not outstanding. So I would just say have no delegate has expressed outstanding unresolved concerns, which means they were only on the stand side. There's two that had unresolved concerns, but not that they were
No delegate has outstanding
unresolved concerns.
All right, if I can have everybody's attention. We had inserted, we had inserted a 5-minute item into the agenda, and I am pleased to inform you that as per what we decided this morning when we approved the agenda, no delegate has expressed outstanding unresolved concerns concerning Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente being our nominees. So we now assume that we have consensus on that, which we shall now affirm by acclamation. No, hang on, I got to finish. I am pleased to announce that Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente are now, by acclamation, the presidential and vice presidential nominees of the Green Party of California. Thank you very much.
Who's presenting on CC? You are. Okay.
Dorothy Kameny, would please stand up and raise your hand. The next item on the agenda is the Orange Plenary CC at-large election.
Are you not the presenter for that?
Who is the presenter on the safe quorum proposal? Is that Michael Bornstein? Who is the presenter on the CC Safe Quorum proposal? That is up on the agenda now. Can you come up here and present?
I'm sorry. I was too big.
Okay, we're also like 9 minutes behind timer. Well,
now we're going to have a
look. Are you presenting?
I need to get my...
Yeah, I think we should have. It always takes 10 minutes after you say you're starting to actually start. Okay, the CC Safe Quorum proposal. The CC Safe Quorum proposal was an internal procedure that the CC had adopted because of the problems we were having maintaining quorum for two reasons. We have folks that are attending 1, 2, 3 meetings a month. We require 1 meeting a month. When we got behind with business, we went to the possibility of 2 meetings a month, and we had some special meetings to take care of certain dynamics. We have folks that have work schedules, folks that have families, and folks that have different pieces of their life that were preventing them from coming to 2-hour long distance meetings multiple times a month, in addition to the one that's required to keep their standing on the CC. We also had a dynamic of some folks, unfortunately, leaving a meeting with the express intention of breaking quorum. So we put together a proposal that would allow a little bit less than the bylaw mandated 2/3 of CC membership to maintain during the meeting. because it rubs up against the bylaws, the CC decided when we adopted this that we better bring this in front of the General Assembly to get an affirmation or at least let you know what we were doing. The bylaws state that in order to convene a CC meeting and to make decisions, you need 2/3 of the membership present. So if you have 12 people on the CC, your quorum requirement is 8. Possible membership on the CC of 20, you can extrapolate out the different amounts that are needed. We accepted every friendly amendment that came from multiple CC members and some not, about how to allow some folks the latitude of being able to leave a meeting when needed, and we could still maintain business. And what we came up with was we still maintain the need to have 2/3 of our membership show up at a meeting in order to convene a legally quorumed meeting. And we will allow the amount of people to leave as long as we do not go over 50% of total membership. To use some round numbers, according to the CC roster on the website right now, of the possible 20 members, there are 14 people listed as members. So that means our quorum requirement at 2/3 is about 9 1/3. We always round up, so our quorum to convene right now is 10. To allow a few people to leave yet stay above 50%, 50% of 14 is 7. So we cannot go below 8. We convene at 10. For instance, the last CC meeting had 11 or 12. I forget exactly what the amount was. And 2 people had to leave for work-related situations. So we cannot go below 50% plus. It sometimes comes out to the half. You could have 20, 19, 18, 17 members, depending on what the existing membership is. So you have 50% of 14, existing membership is 7. We round up to 8. So we cannot go below 8. It allows only 2 people to go leave, and we can still maintain a legitimate decision-making quorum. But you still have to have the 2/3 convened of the meeting. Now, interestingly enough, we haven't had to use this yet once we initiated this.
Michael, granted we started 9 minutes late, and I'm not sure how I handled it. There's 5 minutes left on this item, so are we adding 9 minutes to the meeting since we got back? We didn't get started till 9 minutes, so I'm just putting this question to the floor. All right, so we're at it. So should I add 9 minutes to this meeting and we go 9 minutes longer because we got started 9 minutes late? Yes? Okay, people agree with that. All right, so that means you have 14 minutes left on this item. How do you... Clarifying question. I know it's a clarifying question, but is it a clarifying question of the facilitator? For him, okay. I'm sorry. Michael, you have a question for us, or you have a question?
I have a question for the presenter.
Clarifying when we get to clarifying question. Okay, we're not there yet. Okay, so are you ready to start with?
Sure.
Okay, do you want to do what we did earlier to streamline it, to do the clarifying questions, affirmations, concerns in one stack? Or do you want to do it in separate stacks? Because there's 15 minutes left in the whole thing.
Yeah, I think I can cope with it.
With all in one stack?
Yeah, with exception.
Okay. All right, so people who have clarifying questions, affirmations, and concerns about this proposal, please come to the microphone.
My clarifying question is, you acknowledge that our bylaws, since the coordinating committee is a committee of the state bylaws, and our state bylaws say quorum is two-thirds, you just said in your presentation that the coordinating committee decided internally to change that and has been acting without using this two-thirds quorum according to our state rules. On what basis did the coordinating committee change something that is a state bylaw that you're now coming to ask us to change when the coordinating committee is a committee of the state party?
I understand where the proposal is coming from. I don't agree with the particular solution, partly because of the bylaws thing. I think what should be proposed is a bylaws amendment to lower quorum to 60% or something like that, or 50%, but not. I don't think that messing around with this makes a lot of sense. Regarding the, you know, people deliberately, and this does happen, I've been on the CC, people deliberately leaving the meeting in order to defeat quorum. I think that, for the scheduled time of the meeting, once you have quorum, you keep quorum, unless someone's, like, deliberately, you know, if someone's voluntarily leaving, you still have quorum. If someone's going around with one of those devices where you can disconnect cell phones in order to push people off calls, okay, that's, like, different. But I don't, you know, within the time of the meeting, I don't think that you can have two people decide to extend the meeting longer. I think you have to have quorum to decide to extend the meeting. But I think within the scheduled time of the meeting, once you have quorum, you keep quorum. And, if people are voluntarily leaving, and I think the solution to the quorum problem is simply to make it lower. Two-thirds is really high for quorum.
Warner Bloomberg, Santa Clara County. My clarifying question is, what are you asking from this General Assembly? My first reading of the proposals was, I thought it looked like a proposal for a bylaws amendment. Now, after hearing your presentation, I'm confused because it sounds like you're asking for some sort of touchy-feely affirmation, which I'm not sure then why it needs to be brought to this body to begin with, since it really deals with internal administration of the coordinating committee, which presumably can make its own internal rules so long as it doesn't conflict with the state bylaws.
Bob Marsh, Alameda County. First, I have a question. Is there any elected body in the United States that follows what you're proposing as a rule, to have a quorum that is later changed after the meeting has started? I don't know of any. Second of all, in the past, I don't know if it's true right now, but in the past, our coordinating committee has been a bit like occasionally like our National Congress, where you hope that they have gridlock and nothing gets done because what they're going to do is probably not going to be good. So my view is that having a high quorum threshold is generally a good idea, and this is why virtually all, or perhaps all, elected bodies do have one. And in other words, if there isn't a quorum, you shouldn't be conducting business.
Greg Jan, Alameda County. I got 3 points. They're kind of elaborations on some of the stuff that's been said. Number one, this is, to me, seems like a very bizarre formulation where you have this opening quorum and then you can change it almost immediately after you open it. Again, it just doesn't seem. And by the way, I don't know about your county, but I mean, our county has a 75% quorum threshold. So, okay. Second, it seems to me that if the, quote, regular normal CC meetings are having trouble with the quorum amounts, and maybe they're not now, which is good, but if it gets to that state, it seems to me it's an indication that there's some kind of structural problems going on. So it could be that within the regions are having trouble recruiting volunteers, and we should look at what's going on with, you know, the level of interest the state level business and getting, whether we should have continue the same regional formulations, or it could, of course, be with number of regular meetings. I don't know if you have to meet in November and December, but you know, you could maybe have 8 meetings a year or something. And the final thing is the the special case of people intentionally leaving early, you know, you have some kind of disruption. Well, that I think should be a special case, and you should have rules that deal with that. I mean, if people are intentionally trying to sabotage stuff, I mean, their attendance shouldn't be counted. They should be, well, okay, if you're only going to be there for part of the meeting and you're intentionally walking out, then we're not going to count you for any of the meeting. And so it's just like if you get so many times you miss the meetings, then you're not regularly serving. And, you know, I'm sure there's some kind of rules about how many meetings you have to stay to be a regular member. So there's to me, there's a bunch of problems, and I don't think it's ready for prime time right now.
Yeah, my concerns are three. First, this is not because the attendance problem doesn't come because there's extra meetings. It's because people weren't going to the set monthly meetings. And if you can't make set monthly meetings on a position that is advertised for the first Monday of every month, don't run for the thing. You know, the idea that it's too burdensome a schedule, you don't belong at number one. But number two, the real issue here is it's a drag to be on the CC, and people don't go because it's a drag. And what this proposal says is we're accepting that it's a drag, and we're going to even make it even fewer people on it. So the people who stay, and everybody else has gone away, the people who stay get to keep running it. Kat's proposal on the reboot before dealt with what Greg is talking about. The process problems of why the CC doesn't work have to do with this internal rules, and the internal rules don't work, including the fact that you need two-thirds to approve an agenda for the CC, which means a third can stop the whole CC from acting. That's why people don't go. The final point is this allows an agenda to be manipulated during the course of the evening, so as people leave, a smaller number of people can add new items, change things, and lengthen the call. And the whole screwing up with my county happened a couple of years ago when 45 minutes after a call ended, when several people left the call, at 10:15, the first time the coordinating committee intervened with who was elected for my county happened at 10:15 when Christina Alage left the call because she couldn't stay and afford to be on after 9:30, and a smaller number of people used the remaining people who were there to get two-thirds, and then all this drag that the rest of you have had to deal with my county in part was a function of exactly what this rule would allow, manipulation post facto at the end of the meeting when fewer people are there and they can change the agenda. It's a recipe for manipulation beyond belief.
Ross Frankel, Los Angeles County Council. I'm just several people have already stated what I was going to say, so I'm just going to say that I have serious enough concerns that I'm not comfortable voting in favor of this. So I would, my plan is to oppose at this time.
Jim Stauffer, Santa Clara County. This certainly is not an ideal solution. It's not the way you like to run any committees. But I will give it an affirmation because we've had way too many instances of the CC. And let's remember what the CC does. The job, it isn't policy setting. It's the internal minutiae of the party. It's things like trying to get appointments to committees so the committees can be fully staffed and stuff like that, and the number of times we've had meetings and not be able to get any business done because we're one short of quorum, two short of quorum, that we need something. This is a quick fix for that type of problem. I find it a little disturbing to hear some of the comments up here from people who come from counties whose reps have the worst attendance. There, Alameda County, your reps have a very bad attendance record. And so, you know, we need to do something. And this is a quick, easy step that we can take. It's somewhat analogous to the same thing we did for the General Assembly, where we changed our quorum to allow delegates to unregister if they need to leave early, thereby lowering the quorum. In a committee, we don't have the same structure here, but this has the same type of thing because we have people on the calls who say, I can only stay an hour and then I have to leave. Okay, well, we have business beyond that hour. So that's what it's attempting to do.
Okay, this is the last one. We've got 3 minutes left on this item. Do you need to do it? I'm sorry. Okay. We have 3 minutes left on the whole item, so please keep the comments brief.
Well, I'd like to speak in affirmation of this item. It was mentioned that it was bizarre to have this rule. Personally, I think it's bizarre that people would deliberately leave a meeting in order to stop business from happening. And that, to me, denotes a pure lack of caring about the party and getting business done. What other bodies do, a legislature, etc., I don't think our current government and its function or dysfunction is any example that we really have to take to heart to model ourselves after. I personally don't feel being on CC as a drag, and I don't think anybody else that goes there is going there because it's going to be a drag. And granted, it's difficult at the time. I'm retired. I work a little bit, and I do a little volunteer work, so I have a lot of time. And I do realize that other people have time-consuming things that I don't have. But generally speaking, a two-hour meeting once a month or even twice a month, I think most of us could, you know, eliminate some particular pleasurable act to do that. As far as manipulation goes, a smaller number of people leaving a meeting to stop the business, to cause things to not happen, now that's manipulation. Thank you.
All right, we have 1 minute left on the whole item.
Okay, just a quick, two quick clarifying questions. One, I'm surprised that the quorum is two-thirds instead of a half, which is what it is for most bodies. And second of all, have you ever considered, I mean, like in the delegation, because we're a huge number and it's really hard to get our quorum, we follow up with an online voting procedure until we can get quorum. So I'm wondering if you've ever continued your business online so that you can have quorum that way.
All right, Michael, you've got, I mean, we're actually at time here. Do you want to test for consensus? Do you want to?
No.
Do you just
we'll have to buy some time because people would like their questions answered.
All right, well, that's up to the body here. We're at time for this item. Do you want to, you know, quickly try to go to a decision here? Do you want to add time? What do you want to do? Adding time means we go longer. So we're supposed to get out of here at 4:55. We already, you know, bought 9 minutes. So, we, you know, do you want to buy more? Should we buy 10 more minutes? We're going to stay 20 minutes long. No, I don't have to take it. This is a facilitator decision. So could people raise their hands if they want to buy that time, they want to stay a little later? Okay, can people raise their hands if they don't want to? It looks about even. All right, well, we'll compromise and buy half that. You've got 5 minutes, Michael.
Okay, first of all, we had a rule on the CC where we had a once quorum, always quorum meeting rule where once we got quorum, you could drop down to just two people. Second of all, two-thirds is the bylaws. So unless we want a bylaw change, we can't adjust that. We did have quite a problem with quorum breaking, and I'm very surprised for Mike Feinstein to say what he did when people coordinators have actually shut off our phone call, like pulled the plug so we all went dead, having four or five people walk off of our meeting to break quorum, and yet you folks at General Assembly have told the coordinating committee they're not doing our job. So we're trying to get a rule here to where we could still maintain our business and still keep doing what we do. If you think our quorum is too large, we make a lot of decisions that have to do with designing these meetings. We keep that as a large quorum so there's enough people there to make good decisions for you folks. In the packet, most other committees, all of the committees in this party are allowed to design their internal processes. We designed our internal process with this. Again, you can only two or three people are allowed to leave, even if you have a full 20. So we designed a process that allows us to keep business going and to not be stopped because two or three people pull the plug on our phone conference, leave, or in some occasions actually adjourn the meeting early without permission of the group.
Michael, do you want to get a decision?
The interest of the coordinating committee is up to you folks in your regions. When you elect people to the coordinating committee that don't want to come to a meeting or won't stay to a meeting or have too much personal business to abide by the business or will actually walk out of a meeting to intentionally break quorum, that's not the coordinating committee's fault. That is the responsibility of the region.
Michael, there's 2 minutes left. Do you want to go to a decision on this, or do you want to use the 2 minutes to finish your comments?
Well, the decision is going to be whether to let a committee design their internal processes within the confines of our state bylaws so that we can continue doing this business. We had a whole plenary not come to fruition because quorum kept being thrown.
Okay, so do you want to go to a decision on this, or do you want to, there's 2 more minutes, you could use them for making your comments, or we could use them to go to a decision. Do you want to go to a decision?
Does everybody have their questions answered?
Do you want me to test for consensus?
So we can...
All right, let's see if we can get a decision in the little time. We have like a minute left. First, we'll test for consensus. Are there any unresolved concerns on which people are not willing to stand aside? Okay, I see quite a few. And are any of you willing to stand aside? No. Okay, so are we going for a vote, Michael? Do you want to vote?
I'm a little confused whether it be a policy or business.
This is procedure. This isn't. We're not setting some kind of policy. It's business. All right. So this is a procedural decision. It's got a 2/3 threshold. Right, but it's a procedural
Michael,
bylaw.
The bylaw is in six.
It's not a policy. It's a procedure.
This is an internal committee. Excuse me. It's an internal committee procedure.
I don't disagree that it's a bylaw. I'm saying it's a procedural bylaw.
And if you read your packet, we give, interestingly enough, folks, that when we invoke this procedure, we haven't had the problem, and the CC has been running fine for 4 months.
Okay, Jim Stoffer, I would like your opinion on this. Of changing a bylaw for a procedure, would you call that a procedure decision or a policy decision? I would call it a procedural decision. It's amending the bylaws for a procedure. We don't say one thing for bylaws and one thing for non-bylaws. We say one thing for policy and one thing for procedure. This is a procedure. You would say 80%?
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, so you're saying... All right, I'll go with if Jim Stoffer and Mike Feinstein agree on it, I'll go with it. All right, so it's an 80% threshold. It's an 80% threshold. Okay, is someone going to scribe? Does anyone have scribing sheets? Do you have a scribing sheet?
Yeah, I want to point out to folks that 6-24, Jim and Michael,
put the delegate numbers in which column?
Allow a committee to make their own procedures.
No.
The decision-making process in a committee and working group may be informal, but must be consistent where feasible with the process described in Section 5A, Greg.
Why don't you do the roll call?
There we go.
All right, we're going to have a roll call. Delegate 1. Number one, do you raise your card or whatever?
Raise your card, number one. Question.
Okay. Number one, no. Number one is a no. Number two.
No.
Two is a no. Three. Delegate three. Abstain. Three abstain. Four.
Yes.
Four is a yes. Five. Right. Six?
Yes.
Six is a yes. Seven?
Yes.
Seven yes. Eight?
Yes.
Eight yes. Nine?
No.
Nine no. Ten?
No.
Ten no.
11?
No.
11, no. 12?
No.
12, no. 13?
Yeah.
13, yes. 14?
Yeah.
14, yes. 15?
No.
15, no. 16?
Yes.
16, yes. 17?
No.
17, no. 18?
Yes.
And 19? 19 is a yes. 20?
Yes.
20, yes. 21?
No.
21, no. 22?
No.
22, no. 23?
No.
23, no. 24?
No.
24, no. 25?
Abstain.
25, abstain. 26? 26? Okay. 27? 27, yes. 28?
Yes.
28, yes. 29? 29, abstain. 30? 30 is yes. 31? 31? 31, abstain. 32?
Yeah.
32, yes. 33?
No.
33, no. 34? 34, abstain. 35?
No.
35, no. 36?
Yes.
36, yes. 37?
No.
37, no. 38?
No.
38, no. 39?
Yes.
39, yes. 40, where are we?
No.
40 is no. 41?
41, yes.
41, yes. 42?
You know, as a point, as we're totaling this, folks,
five casts and abstain also.
I noticed that most of the people that voted no are from the regions whose reps do not.
Okay, let's not go there, Michael. 26 did not vote. Is 26 back in the room yet? Does anyone have delegate card 26?
It doesn't pass.
No, it doesn't pass. No. All right, so moving on to the next item is the CC at large election, which Larry is.
Hold on, Ron, not you. I'm talking to Ron.
Okay, delegates need to vote. The candidates are listed in the order of the Secretary of State's random list, as calls for in the bylaws. Instructions are, this is a ranked vote. There's two candidates and no other candidate, which are the instructions. So we'll pass these out. Dorothy Kemeny is the person to turn them into. Jim Stauffer is also on the election committee, and we'll pass these out and turn them in as soon as you can. It shouldn't take a long time to do this election. So if the delegates would raise their hand, we'll get these passed out.
Yeah. Raise your hand with your card in it, and you'll get one. Okay. And while you're voting, we're going to have a brief announcement from Ron Rodarte, referenced tonight. What? And right after this announcement, you'll have an opportunity to ask the candidates questions.
Mike Feinstein made a good point. We didn't announce the exact results. The official results of that vote were 17 yes, 17 no, and 6 abstain.
I don't like the way they sing.
While everyone is intent on the ballot, I'd like to announce that tonight we have a party.
Can't hear you, Ron. You got to speak right up.
Hey, can everybody hear me now? Okay. Tonight we have a party going on from 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. It's a fundraiser. We have a band here called the Hip Replacements from Laguna Beach, and we have a number of speakers who will be here speaking on local issues, statewide issues. If you care to come, please do. No need to donate, but if you do have a buck in your pocket, drop it in the kitty. Thank you very much. 6 o'clock to 10 p.m. Thank you. It will be here. We're just going to move the furniture around and break a lot of it.
It's been asked if the candidates could come forward. I'm sure everybody knows who they are, but it's... Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. Linda and Matt, if you could come forward, please.
Somebody asked me that question earlier. I'm still on there. May I ask Linda Solomon? She's from Riverside. I think they can
ask you questions. That's a period of time. This period of time was left on the agenda so people could ask questions of the candidates during the period for voting. So if people have questions for the candidates, maybe come up here and ask them.
I'm Linda Solis from Riverside County.
Can't hear you.
I'm Linda Solis from Riverside County, and I've been with them about maybe 4 years. And they're kind of a small county, and I just wanted to bring them into the fold here because there's not been a lot of voice from them. So that's why I'm doing this. Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Matt Leslie from Orange County. I've been involved on the local and state level for about 8 years now, in various capacities. My bio's in the agenda. So, first thing I'd like to I'd like to endorse Linda Salas. I can't say enough about how great she's been trying to reactivate Riverside. She's been working very tirelessly on this, and Riverside has been historically underrepresented on the CC, so I think it's I'd like to offer that endorsement.
Yeah, if you want to ask questions, come to the microphone. Please keep them brief.
So my questions to both candidates are, what are your top proposed agenda items that you would like to bring to the fore if you get onto the CC?
Here comes the CC rep at large.
What I want to do is engage more people in political activism. It's just not happening enough. And I know from my own experience that I get somewhat frustrated by the inability to get things going, and I find that even I want to quit. And so I can understand, and I'm really sympathetic to those who don't want to become involved. But it's an important, a really important thing, and I understand that, and I want to impart that to people I can try to get engaged. So in Riverside County, it's a very large county, and there's and I'm in the Coachella Valley, which is the area where Palm Springs, and so it's more condensed and more concentrated. There are a lot more people in one area there, that and they're somewhat involved in their particular issues. And if I can adopt those issues and bring them into the Green Party, or vice versa, bring the Green Party into those issues, then I think there's some hope there. So anyway, that's what I want to bring to it. Thanks.
My top priority is just to see that the business of the party gets done. There's an opening here. I'd been on the CC before. you know, things that were sometimes good and sometimes tough. I learned a lot from it. I'm, you know, smarter about it now. And I just like to see that the I suppose the top priority is to see that the working groups and standing committees are coordinated by the coordinating committee, and that, you know, our plenaries happen on time, our agendas are put out, and things like that, just to help make that process better if I can.
I have a question basically regarding the role of at-large rep. These positions were created in order to represent underrepresented constituencies in this party. The argument gets made periodically that because the CC is an administrative body, it doesn't need to be representative. The CC has a lot of influence on a lot of decisions. I completely disagree. We call our representatives, you know, we call them regional representatives. I think the CC should be representative. So my question to the two candidates is, you know, how would you go about representing the most underrepresented constituency in this party, which if you look around the room is completely obvious, I shouldn't even have to say it, which is people of color. You know, how would you go about, you know, rectifying that or representing that constituency?
Well, I can't. I'm not a woman of color. So, but I can speak on behalf of the people that I would be representing in Riverside as much as possible. So I don't know how to answer that question.
I could help you with that. Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that occurs to me is I believe there are actually there are no seated at-large reps right now. Am I correct in that assumption? So that there are actually at-large seats going begging right now. And, you know, the best thing I could do is something is to go out and find a person of color to take one of those extra seats or those open seats. So that would be the first thing. We have caucuses for people based on gender and color and things like this. And so I would try to, you know, actively outreach to those caucuses and see initially. That would be the easy thing. And then just try to work with whatever, you know, group, work with GRO, I suppose, to see how they're trying to organize groups of people of color and maybe individual counties to work with them, talk with them individually, locals and things like that, and find out what the particular issues are that they feel are not being represented on the CC.
Two-part question. With all due respect to Drew's question, it didn't relate to the actual job description of the coordinating committee. So Matt did address the job description, but I want to ask Linda, based on what the coordinating committee is actually supposed to do, and there's seven or eight tasks that are outlined in the bylaws, you know, how do you see yourself fulfilling those? And the second thing is, when confronted with a direct rule violation of our state bylaws, as Michael Bornstein mentioned that he had already advocated internally in the coordinating committee, where our bylaws say the threshold is two-thirds, and then they started operating without using that threshold, what would you do confronted with coordinating committee members who are simply going to say, you know what, let's throw out the state rules because we can?
I suppose I'd have to learn what those state rules are very clearly, because to take someone's word for it is not a good idea. And that would be my first task, I think, to learn all those state rules very clearly and then call them on it. And if I found that they were not just rules, then I would do every effort possible to amend them in some way.
The other part was about the actual job description.
Well, it's administrative, and that's been my background all along, and, I mean, professionally, that's been my background. So I feel like I could take on pretty much any task that is requested of me. And but the real issue would be, I would hope to use this coordinating committee in some way to assist in reaching out and getting the Green Party to be heard more. I'm not sure that that's exactly what the purpose of the coordinating committee is, but I would hope it is.
In regards to the first question, I would just try to maintain fidelity to the bylaws to the best of my ability. I've never been on the bylaws committee. I would just try to consult with the people who have been in the past and try to respect them to the highest degree. As far as the actual job description, one of the things that really helps in being on the coordinating committee is being on one of the state, working groups or standing committees before. And I've done that, and I think that anybody who's on the CC should be on at least one of those minimum, and so a pet, I don't know if I can call it a project, but something that's always bothered me or has for the past few years has been that we have sort of a moribund working group, which is the Green Issues Working Group, and there's this kind of hole in the party because it gets kind of turned into different things depending on who's got it at the moment. I don't know if anyone's got it at the moment or doing anything with it, but it seems like what that group should be doing is figuring out, liaisoning with progressive causes and issues in the state and figuring out where the Green Party is in those issues and presenting those positions, to the party, taking the Green platform to those to the people who are pushing these issues and establishing something between them so that we're on board. Sorry, that sounds awfully shorthand. But that's one way that I would try to fulfill the description is trying to make sure the working groups and standing committees are performing their functions to the best of their ability and assisting where I can to see that becomes the case if it isn't.
Okay, we've got 6 minutes before we're supposed to adjourn. Who is going to be collecting the ballots? They need to check Dorothy Kimmeny. Okay, and Jim showed you how to deal. Okay, so everybody needs to bring their delegate card and their ballot to Dorothy to register your vote. Oh, yeah, you have one more question? Go ahead. Are you trying to get on the stack for a question, too? Oh, okay. And then there's a quick announcement.
I had a question in reference to the last subject. Apparently, there's some folks that don't mind laggard attendance. How do you feel about staying to the end of meetings, your attendance in general, and the act of actually leaving a meeting to break quorum because you're not getting your way?
I like Greg Jansel's.
Oh, this is a tough one. That's assuming that people who leave on a perpetual basis are doing it for that reason. And in that case, it's something about that would have to be addressed. And within the coordinating committee, it would have to be addressed. I'm not sure that it even belongs in here. I think that the decision to change the either the bylaws or the regulations within the committee should have been done within the committee. So I'm not aware of this that much. So.
Michael, I'll try to get your question as best I can remember. Obviously, it's despicable to leave a meeting, for the intention of breaking quorum. And if that happens, I agree with Michael that that's the region's problem. The regions have to keep track of what the reps are doing. And if you find that your rep is consistently leaving a meeting, halfway through, you might want to ask that rep why that is the case. I think that as far as extending meetings, it's kind of like seeing the plenary. I mean, if it's 5 o'clock and you got important business and you want to go to 5:20, okay, but I don't want to go to 9 o'clock. I was on CC calls that got extended way beyond, and it's a real problem. I personally don't like seeing meetings extend more than, say, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. I mean, that's a little bit arbitrary, but I mean, they are 2 hours for a reason. 2 hours is a good time for. It's about as long as anybody wants to stay on the telephone, So, and I think that there is a legitimate thing that's happened that they've tried to deal with, or rather, there's a problem that the CC currently is trying to deal with in a legitimate way, which is something our county council sometimes has to do. I mean, if you've got more work than you can do in 2 hours, you've got to schedule another call. And we all know what happens when you start doing that. You find out that you get really efficient, and then suddenly you figure out a way to do it once a month. So I would rather have more calls than longer calls, I guess, if that's what the question was. I don't know if that's what it was.
Okay, so we have an announcement from, is it from Linda Piera Avila regarding the delegation, GPUS delegation?
Okay, we're going to meet for dinner. Our dinner meeting is going to be across the street and down at the end of the block at the Harbor House as soon as we adjourn business here today. I made a reservation for 5:15.
All right. Are we announcing the election tonight, or are you doing that tomorrow? Okay, they're going to launch it. So we can adjourn? All right, we're adjourning the meeting as of now for today. Please be here on time tomorrow morning.